Not yet.
Yep, you are. You are.
I'm ready?
You are.
All right. Elohim Tov.
Kol Hazman.
Kol Hazman.
Elohim Tov.
All right, look. Oh, man, I don't even have her name right in front of me, unless it's on here.
Not on there.
Nothing's on here, huh? Shit. Man, well, anyway, I'm going to show it, and then we'll talk about it later. But, okay, now check this out. She has this sweatshirt, T-shirt company that she's for Christians. You see what that?
Oh, yeah.
Harpazo, rapture ready, right?
I love it.
And then, okay.
And it's a hoodie.
Now.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
You like that?
That's nice.
Now, I forget what DJWW mean, but it has something to do with, like, not today, devil, or something. I don't know. But I'll have to look it up. But I want her to know that I got it.
Look at
and
that.
And then we'll get it. Oh, nice. Man. That's going to draw a lot of attention. I'm going to get to talk a lot. Unless Drea takes it and it becomes her nighty, then all right.
One of them said they want one.
Oh, good. So that's good. I'm gonna get a hold of her when I get out because I know who she is, but I don't have the information in front of me. So I'm gonna get a hold of her when we get out. Excellent meeting this morning with the Lord in prayer and preparing for this. I was up and Drea was still asleep and it still was dark outside. So I know it was morning because it said 5:30.
That's a good sign.
All right. So I want us, first of all, to go to Proverbs chapter 13, verse 17, because I want you to know exactly where I'm coming from today. Front pocket, Pastor Ben. Glasses, you know, front pocket, the other front pocket. Yep. Oh, the other front pocket, all the way in front.
Oh.
Yep. Just open that and you'll see a big glass case. You see it? You see them sitting? Thank you. See? You knew just where they were. Thank you, Pastor.
There we go.
Okay. Praise the Lord. All of our YouTube family out there, the Lord kind of says, I'm going to be speaking on his behalf today. And you just say what I need you to say. And hopefully we'll get the attention of our brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus as we kind of lay out reality. How many of you guys have had an easy Christian walk?
Easy.
I mean, it's been like you got saved and it's been just smooth sailing since.
I don't know about that.
I thought, okay, then welcome to the club. Because I feel the same way. I'm going to read this scripture. It's in Proverbs chapter 13, and it's verse 17. And depending on what translation you're reading from, but I know what it says in Hebrew, and I'll read it in this translation here. It says, yes. What?
One of the members said that they have a knife in their hand, and they're ready to kill themselves. Can you pray?
Yes. Pray, Pastor Ben.
Can I get you all to stand?
Yeah.
They said they had a knife in their hand and they're ready to kill it. Father God, in the name of Jesus.
Hallelujah.
We bless you.
Jesus
we thank
name.
You, Lord. We don't understand what this person's going through. We don't understand what they're dealing with. We don't know, Father, but you know.
Yes.
Father,
spirit,
we're asking God. That you would remove the danger
yes.
from their presence and that you would touch that heart and that mind. Whatever they're going through, whatever they're dealing with, you alone are the answer. You are the only one that can fix that. You're the only one that can change that environment. You're the only one that can change that situation. Father, whoever it is, they knew enough to come to the church and ask for prayer. And so if they know enough to do that, please, in the name of Jesus, assist that person, whoever they are. We condemn the demon that would try to put that madness in their head. We rebuke the demon that would try to cause them to destroy what you have made.
Yes, sir.
Let your blood cleanse and heal that environment and that situation so that you will take full control. We ask you, Father, in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Holy Spirit, amen. Amen.
Amen. All right. Hallelujah. Father God, in Jesus' name, may angels be there. All right. Here we go. Lives are important to God.
Yes.
Praise God. Okay. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 17. It says, a weak messenger falls into trouble, but an ambassador or a trustworthy ambassador brings healing.
Yes.
You get that?
Yes.
Some of you might say a trustworthy envoy, but the word in the Hebrew and the word in the Greek is an ambassador. Okay. So, a weak messenger falls into trouble, but an ambassador brings healing.
Yes.
What is an ambassador?
Representative.
A representative of another country.
Yes.
Another state or whatever. You're a foreigner. You've been sent somewhere to do a job. Okay. Once you get there, you have to always remember one thing. What's that?
You represent somebody
else. You are representing a foreign place. You are there to do a job, and you cannot fall into thinking that you're one of the citizens there and get caught up in their lifestyle, doing what they do, saying what they say, and then all of a sudden you forget that you don't live there.
Hallelujah.
You were sent there, and you have to go back to where you're supposed to be, right?
Amen.
So if you're a good ambassador, you have to keep in mind that you don't live here.
Yeah.
Okay? Yes. Therefore, you don't get the opportunity to act like them, be like them, talk like them, do like them. You can't do it. You understand? You can't do it.
Yeah.
Because God knows that the reason you're here is to get them to come to good sense, because you know there's a better place than this, and I've been sent to tell you that there's a heaven.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
I've been sent to tell you that there's a hell.
Yeah.
I've been sent to tell you good news, right? So if we're going to be ambassadors, God gave me this scripture this morning, and he says, be a good ambassador where you are. Don't fall into trouble where you are. And how do you do that? Don't get involved with them.
Yes. Amen.
It's okay to be holy. It's okay to be different. It's okay to be sanctified.
Yes.
Because they drinking don't mean you got to drink.
Right.
Amen. Come on.
But it's my sister's birthday, so...
Amen.
Tell her, give me a glass of water, and I'll say, congratulations, happy birthday, whatever. But I'm not drinking with you.
Amen.
Why? Because I don't live here. You understand?
Amen.
And you got to be strong about that, because the world is always, the community is always trying to suck you in.
Yeah.
Like, you don't drink? I've been talking to you, you mad, and you ain't cursed once. Girl, say what's on your mind. Because they expect you to act like them, okay?
Yeah.
But we know we don't belong to that.
That's
right?
That's right.
And it is a gift not to belong to that.
Amen.
Praise God.
Amen.
So being an ambassador, I have to tell you truth, because I can't sit here and lie to you, and I can't sit here and say, this is too heavy for them. This is something that may, you know, disturb their day. An ambassador is, you're under instructions. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
All right, so let's get started on this. I want us to go to Genesis chapter 6, verse 3. And the message today is called The Beauty of Obedience.
Yes.
It's a beautiful thing.
Yes.
Obedience is beautiful. Is it easy? No. But it is beautiful.
Yeah.
God sees obedience and goes, oh my goodness, how beautiful. Because God knows that you can't give him nothing. You don't have nothing. You have absolutely nothing you can give God that he don't already have.
Amen.
Do you know that?
Amen.
Except one thing. And what's that?
Your obedience.
Your free will.
Yeah.
So to God, it's like a gift that he's receiving from you that you didn't have to give him.
Mm-hmm.
And he knows, since he created free will beings, angels and human beings, They all have free wills. People can act up or people can live for God.
Yes.
And so God knows this. So this is what I want us to start at here today, because God wants you to know the reason why I'm going to speak the message that I'm speaking today is because we're in a crucial time.
Yes.
Okay? We're about to be in the 120th year since the 1900s. We're about to be in the year that Jesus says it will be as it was in the days of Noah. We're about to be in that 120th year. So in Genesis chapter 6, verse 3, the Lord said, "My spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh. Yet his days shall be 120 years." Now, when Noah said that, he was 480, and the book of Jubilee, it confirms that. So he's 480, and God says, "You got 120 years, and my spirit's not going to remain here because you're flesh." And he says, so that God is, I love the prophecy in there, because God is saying, at that 120th year, I'm removing my spirit, okay? Because you're flesh, okay? But the beauty of God is he didn't sneak up on Noah. He says it's going to happen, and you just going to have to figure out when, but stay ready. He didn't say that. He says, I'm going to tell you exactly. It'll be in 120 years, and I'm coming. And what I want you to do for me right now is build an ark and preach righteousness, okay? And that's what we've been doing.
Yes.
Okay? The ark is on the is still planted on the earth.
Yes.
And that ark is Jesus Christ.
Yes, it is.
And that ark still only has one door. Mm-hmm. And whosoever wants to be saved has to come in through that one door. Okay? Thank God for getting. I almost fell into Islam. I was like, sitting out, I was thinking about that this morning. I was thinking about sitting in there with that little rug and getting on my knees, and I'm like, what am I doing? I better read this book first, right? There's no other way off this earth safely other than the ark. That's what God is trying to say.
That's it.
Okay? And if you have him, welcome on the ark. Stay on the ark.
Yeah.
Don't go back in the water. Don't look at things like it's beautiful out there. Stay on the ark. Now, in Matthew chapter 24, this is not the message. The Lord said, I'm going to do this almost every message that I do until he comes.
Wow.
He says, you're on the end of this. You're on the end of this mission. And it has not been a pleasant mission. I know. And that's what the Lord says to me. I know it hasn't been pleasant. I know it has been what you would see embarrassing at some times.
Mm-hmm.
I know it has been hurtful at times. But you'll see why we did it that way. Because I'm trying to get their attention. I'm trying to get their attention. I'm trying to give them a clear warning that the world is not going to always be in the situation that you see it now.
Right.
Okay? Mm-hmm. A king is coming.
Yes.
Okay? Homelessness is disappearing. Okay? Bad government is going away.
Yes.
Okay?
Yes.
A king is coming.
Yes.
All right?
Yes.
So you guys have to understand this. And the only way you're going to understand it is to understand that the God that created this place has a plan. And you're a part of it. Okay? So let's look at this, what Jesus said. You're in 24 verse 36? All right, now correct me if I'm wrong. It says, no one knows the month or the year or the millennium. Not even the angels in heaven.
Oh, he didn't say that.
Huh? Pastor being the only one corrected me. We got one Berean in the place. Somebody, see, let me tell you. If you misquote a scripture, this has been a problem in church. Somebody's up there and you know that Jonah didn't split the sea.
Ooh.
But somebody reading it and everybody quiet because nobody want to say nothing, right?
Jonah.
So I'm just saying, look, be diligent in your word. Know your word for yourself, okay? Yeah. That was a misquote, okay? And God don't misquote, okay? So it says, no one knows the day or the hour, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. As it was in the days of Noah, so it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. I'm going to read that again. As it was in the days of Noah, so it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. For in the day before the flood, people were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage up to the day Noah entered the ark. Right?
Right.
Normal life was going on. I want you guys to know that, because I'm tired of people saying, oh, the third world war is going to start. And then all this. And there's going to be 5 days of blackness. And the economy is going to completely black out. And then God has got it undercover. It's going to be a regular day.
Yeah,
I ain't planning no wedding during the third world war.
Right. Okay.
I'm not eating, sleeping, and drinking, and marrying, and giving in marriage if something crazy is going on. You understand?
Amen.
But he's basically saying what? Life's going to be normal.
Yep.
Okay?
Amen.
And he says here, and they knew nothing about what would happen until the flood came and took them all away. Okay, that word took is different from the word we're going to read now, taken. Okay? That word took is kind of violent, right? And it says, and they knew nothing about what would happen until the flood came and took them all away. That is how it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. So God said a flood is coming, is going to violently consume, okay, took, okay? And he says, but something else is going to happen. This is what's going to happen. Two men will be in the field. One will be Perolambano, taken as a friend or a companion, and the other one left or divorced from God. Okay? And I read that again, because one is going to be Perolambano, taken as a friend or companion to God. The other one is being divorced. The word, I think, lifame, which means divorced. Okay? So that means if they weren't in a relationship with God, you can't get divorced. So I want you to know that people who, like Jesus says, not everybody that says, Lord, Lord, okay? So God, this is not a warning to the world, okay? This is a warning to Christians, okay? Because this is the message that we're not supposed to preach to you, because you're supposed to believe that once you got saved, that no matter how you live, no matter what you do, you're going to be fine, and that's it. But that's not true. We are working out our salvation. We are sanctifying ourselves, and the scripture says, with fear and trembling.
Yes.
Because we know that our God is a consuming fire. And even though he's a really sweet guy, he's a really bad dude. Understand?
Amen.
And we've read about some of his judgments.
Oh, yeah.
So we're fighting. And the Lord told me to emphasize this. You're not trying to be a good Christian. You're fighting for your life.
Yeah.
I want to accomplish it until I become a great Christian. You are fighting for your life. You're thinking about two different wars.
Yeah.
Okay? You are fighting for your life. And the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, God is living inside of you, helping you fight.
Yeah.
You can't trample over what's inside of you.
Amen.
Because if you don't respect what's inside of you, you in trouble.
Yes.
Okay?
Yes.
We're going to get to that later.
Amen.
Two women will be grinding at the mill. One will be taken and the other one left. So Jesus says, the big hint here is, it's going to be as it was in the days of Noah. Mm-hmm. I counted them off 120, and I've counted you off 120. How do you know I've counted you off 120? Read Proverbs 1-21, and I mean 1-20, and you will see that the Psalm of Ascent does not begin until Psalms 120.
Yes.
Okay?
Amen.
So Psalms 120 starts a whole new thing, which stands for the year what? 2020. Psalms is the 19th book of the Bible, and the 48th chapter of Psalms is 1948. What? The rebirth of the nation of Israel is in Psalms 48. Every year, that's in the 1900s is in Psalms.
Yes.
All the way up to the present time, okay? And you're on year 119, and the world's not panicked. You know why? Because they don't care. And you've got to understand, Christians should care, but there's a demonic spirit over the church that tells you, once you become a Christian, you're in.
Woo!
And that's all you have to do, okay? And this is not just a message on once saved, always saved, because the name of the message is the beauty of obedience.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful thing to want to submit to God, to want to be in opposition to the world, to that God doesn't. Who wants to be in a relationship with somebody? You got to follow them around and make sure they're not cheating. But how beautiful it is to be able to trust that person, to know that when you leave, I know you're good. And when you come home, I know you're good.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But all Christians aren't like that. Because remember when we first started Pastor Hugh, I had an article. They said all these pastors was at a pastor's convention.
Oh,
and I had the article. They said they had never sold so much pornographic movies in the hotel rooms. Except for on that day. So obviously all these pastors thought, God's not watching me now. You know what I mean? That was like, to me, I was like, that's no way. I wanted to call a hotel and go, stop lying on the church. You're trying to make us look bad. But why would they write that? Like, the owner of the hotel said, this is crazy. This is supposed to be a religious evening. So a lot of us believe if I'm not in church, God's not watching.
Mm.
Not true. Matter of fact, God lives inside of you. So yeah. Wherever you're at, he's at. Whatever you're watching, he's watching.
Amen.
Okay? When you're saying stuff, he's listening. Okay? When you're planning stuff, he's like, that ain't gonna work. He's listening. So understand, God is always there. Here, let me... let's get started on this message today. We're going to be, and God just told me to change it around. We're going to be in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 5 through 7. We're going to be in, God told me, change it around, read that later. Hallelujah. Another pastor was teaching this morning. I was listening to him. He said, I always go to God and ask him what he wants to talk about this morning. I never. And I was like, ooh, he's just like me. I was like, there's somebody else like me. How could you possibly get up and come up with your own message? That might not be what God wants to talk about.
Amen.
You in 1 Peter?
Amen.
Chapter 3. And I'm making sure that I'm doing this right. Verse 5, yes. Verse 5 through 7. Here it is. It says, for this is the way the holy women of the past put their hope in God. Used to make them, let me read that again. For this is the way the holy women of the past who put their hope in God used to make themselves beautiful. They were submissive to their own husbands, like Sarah, who obeyed Abraham and called him master. You are her daughter if you do what is right and do not give way to fear. Now, I'm like, wait a minute. Why add if you don't give way to fear? What was going on that would make her fearful of being submissive to her husband?
Take advantage of
it. Huh? You know me, Pastor Ben. I got to study. So I said, let me see what the community in that where they were living, because they weren't living in a Jewish community. Do you know that? God told Abraham to leave where you are, go here, come back down here, and now he's in Mesopotamia and living among the Canaanites, right? He's in the place that's supposed to be Israel later, but it's not. The Canaanites are living there. Him and Sarah are living among these people. And as they're living amongst these people, they're not in a The God that saves, the God who created environment. Remember, this is something that is going on, and all of these gods and all of these countries and all of these communities have been created. Okay? So the God that was head over where they were living were goddesses, were the main gods. Okay? Easter was the main focus and the driving god of Mesopotamia and that area where they were living, okay? And let me read some of the article. It was a long article, but I just pulled out a few things. Okay. It says, ancient Mesopotamia, like the Attakians and the Sumerians and the Assyrians and the Babylonians, believed in worshiping various gods. Before Syria, Christians took over Mesopotamia, those people had unique set of Mesopotamian religious beliefs that included the worship of the main god deity, Easter. Or you some say Ishtar, but it's still Easter. They still won't change the name, because it says among the host of others. And it says, as for the married women, provided if the married woman had a little guts and knew how to make use of her charm, employing of her guile, she was no less capable of making her husband toe the line. Divinity oracles mentions a woman made pregnant by a third party, ceaselessly implored the god of love, Easter, repeating, please let this child look like my husband. I'm trying to get you, okay? Wow. And we are told of the woman who left her home and her husband gallivanting, not just once or twice, they were allowed up to 8 times they could leave home and come back pregnant and say, Ishtar got me pregnant.
Okay.
So you could, now, the way they got married was they were brought to the wedding market, and they got chosen by these husbands. But if you listen to this, here it says, we told a woman left, okay. It says, even so, it should be noted that the majority of the myths of ancient Mesopotamia, especially the most popular myth, of the descents of Inan and these other gods, and it said portrayed women in a very flattering light and often having an advantage over the men. While males were recognized as the authority in both government and the home, women could own their own land, businesses, buy and sell slaves, initiate divorce proceedings. Okay? Now, the word that says that Sarah did not fear is a Greek word that means she was not intimidated by the terror of where she was living. They couldn't intimidate her because she didn't fit in where she was. You understand?
Right.
Sarah being in the market and calling her husband master or lord enraged the women in the community, saying, what are you doing? You're trying to take us back to the Stone Ages. It's like we have a goddess that we serve, and these men are supposed to be subservient to us. In one of the other chapters, they said they were amongst the women that tell their husbands, go and get me a drink, because they served Ishtar, and Ishtar elevated the women, and they could initiate a divorce proceeding. So therefore, the men were afraid because they're the ones that could buy the land and everything, and they could initiate the divorce proceeding. So there was always this battle between the men and the women for authority because of the goddesses they served. Now, this woman comes here from a foreign place with her husband, and she's calling him Lord. And doing it, you need anything else, honey? Here you are, my Lord. And the community was done with her. You understand? So it says that she did not fear the community. She did not she had no fear in being submissive, because her submission was beautiful to God. Because first of all, in the area she was living in, she did not have to be that way.
Right.
Because she was in a community that protected her as a woman. Now she's not getting pregnant, and these women are telling her, you got 8 times, you can go and have Ishtar get you pregnant and come back.
Mercy.
You understand what's going on? She's not getting pregnant. She's calling her husband Lord. And they're like, girl, you don't fit in here.
Making us look bad.
So I want you to understand, in a community where everybody's living opposite of you, you can still live for God.
Yeah.
You can still live for God.
Yeah.
Okay? Because a lot of people, I always read that. What fear? What? Abraham was a good guy. What is this? What would she fear? She feared the whole community that she lived in. And it said she didn't fear them, because and she was not intimidated by them. And she said, I'm going to call my husband Lord. I'm going to be obedient, because she read in Genesis chapter 3, the man shall rule over you.
Yeah.
Even though she knew it was a part of the curse, she said, anyway, I'm going to submit myself unto my husband, because it's beautiful to God.
Yeah.
Wow.
Wow. They're not teaching that in church.
Now, now understand, Abraham's Hebrew. Abraham he understands the scriptures, and he understands that there's no such thing as a good serving wife. Because women are not made to be servants.
Right.
Husbands are.
Right.
Amen.
According to Hebrew scripture, the husband is the servant. You think Jesus is ruling over you, or you think Jesus is serving you?
Serving.
Did he wash feet?
Yes, he did.
Did he feed people?
Yes, he did.
So Jesus came as a servant. He said, the one that is a servant amongst you will be the greatest. So my example of being a great husband was Jesus. So my wife said, oh, you didn't have to do it. Yes, I did. Let me get your plate. Let me bring you a plate. Okay. And somebody else might come to my house and go, hey, Sandy, come over here, man. You messing it up for us. No, that's my wife. I'm a subservient to her. I'm her servant. God gave me to be her servant, to build her up, to make her the best woman that she can be. And I need to ask her each morning, how can I serve you? Now, she's submissive to me, but just because you're the boss don't mean you have to be crazy.
Amen. Amen.
You know what I mean? You're the boss. You ever have somebody become boss at your job? And they was really good to get along with until they became supervisor?
Yeah.
That's how people are when they get married. Some men get when they get married.
Yeah.
They ain't never had nobody to boss around, but now they heard, you my woman, you supposed to cook for me, you boss. You tell me. You know. And they never read the scripture that the scripture said, submit one to another. Okay? It says, for us to yield to each other and for us to mesh, we're going to have some cooperation, some yielding, and some servants.
Amen.
But the incredible thing to me was that Sarah, living in a community that completely, if Sarah was you, she be at the party, maybe lives in the Snoop Dogg, she trying to put on gospel.
Right.
She trying to have a glass of juice, and they trying to give her wine or a mixed drink.
Right.
You know what I mean? She's like, I'm living for God no matter what, and no matter what your community is doing.
Amen.
Okay? Let's go to Romans chapter 12.
Amen. Good word, man.
Romans chapter 12.
Amen.
He says, therefore, I urge you, brethren, in the view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices. Now, most sacrifices, they kill them first, right?
Ooh.
But God says, no, you die to yourself and you be a living sacrifice to me.
Yes.
Now understand, women or wives, you still had to pay a bridal fee. So the wife got purchased. She actually belonged to the husband because he paid the purchase fee. You understand? She doesn't belong to her anymore.
Amen.
So God is saying, look, with you, your husband, Jesus Christ, has purchased you with blood, right? And so now you don't belong to you anymore. You belong to Jesus. Your body belongs to your husband. Understand? So therefore, you don't get to. So he's telling you here as a living sacrifice. You understand? Offer yourself as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your
reasonable,
right?
Right.
This one says your spiritual act of worship. This is how you worship God. By doing what? By dying to yourself and making sure that you understand that you are a sacrifice.
Yeah.
You do not belong to you. Your mouth don't belong to you.
Ooh.
Don't use my mouth for using those words.
Amen.
You clean up those words. That's my mouth.
Amen.
I don't use my hands to pick that up. Put that down.
Right, right.
You understand? Because God is trying to let you know you've been purchased, okay? And you are a living sacrifice and you belong to God. So God wants you to not use any of his instruments for sin.
Amen.
Because why? You're holy to God.
Yeah.
What does it mean to be holy to God? You're completely sanctified to God. You're his own personal cup.
Yes.
And I use that simply because you know if you see somebody drinking off your cup,
get your lips off my cup.
You be like, you can have it now.
Yeah.
Right? You don't even want it no more. You come back and a stranger drinking out your cup?
Yeah.
Nah, it's yours now. And that could be your personal cup, right? It was holy to you.
Right.
When it was just you sipping out of it. But now you come back and this stranger sipping your cup. You got that, man. That's all. That's all you. And you seeing stuff back, spring it off. You know. Okay? So see how we are in that way. Now I want you to understand how God feels when he sees you at. And you're an ambassador. You're at some party smoking weed with people you're supposed to be teaching about God.
Right, 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 right.
You're somewhere doing stuff with people who are on their way to hell already and don't know no better.
Right.
And you acting like them.
Amen.
You're basically letting someone else sip off God's cup.
Ew.
And then you just want God. You just go back to God. Okay, I'm ready now. It's like, no, you don't. Put you in a dishwasher. Clean you up. You know what I mean?
Woo.
Because that's how it is. Look, once you sin, God said, you need to repent. You need to do something because you got to clean that cup up. I ain't putting my lips on that no more.
Amen.
You understand?
Amen. I love it.
And that is God. We got to understand. So we are living sacrifice. And it says this. Look, it says, it's therefore I urge you, brethren, in the view of God's mercy, to offer your body as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. So until you renew your mind, you don't even know what God likes.
Amen.
So God said, get in your word, renew your mind, because I've purchased you, and you don't even know what royalty is yet. Because Esther had to go through some things. You understand?
6 months. Amen.
It's like you're going to marry a king, girl. You got to go through. You got 6 months of washing, six months of bathing.
Yeah.
Clip them toes. Things about to change. And so God purchased you, okay? But now he said, just purchasing you is not it. Okay? Now we got to prepare you. Okay? So conform your mind. Do not conform any longer to what you used to do. You have to relearn things. Okay? So I had to relearn my language when I got saved.
I had to
relearn where I go.
Right.
I realized, I can't go everywhere.
Right.
Come on, teach.
Come on. Yeah. You're a Christian and you're at a what concert? Everybody drinking and smoking weed but you. And you like, am I really even supposed to be here? You know what I mean? You start cursing. I mean, they start cursing, and you like, will y'all stop cursing? They be like, we was cursing before you got here. Who are you?
Right.
What are you doing here? You're not even supposed to be here.
Right.
You understand? You're not even supposed to be here.
Amen.
So becoming a Christian is not just becoming a Christian. It's getting to work, conforming, relearning, getting ready. Because why? You don't live here anyway, and you got to go somewhere, and there's royalty there. You understand?
Amen.
Won the lottery in Beverly Hills, still talking ghetto. You understand? Because you rich, now you need some sophistication school. You're like the Beverly Hillbillies up in here. You know? You got a market. It's like we don't grow our own stuff, we got a market. You got to relearn. You understand?
Amen.
Hallelujah. So we have to learn something here. And what we have to learn is this. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 6, verse 20.
It's a good word.
Ephesians chapter 6. And we're going to read it, verse 20. I'm going to start at verse 19. So it says, pray also for me that whenever I open my mouth, words may be given me, so I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should. Okay? Each and every one of us who gave our life to Christ, your citizenship is no longer here.
Amen.
Your citizenship is in heaven.
Yes.
Okay? Pray that you conduct yourself properly in this foreign land till you get home.
Amen.
Okay?
Amen.
Now, someone may say, well, you know, I just gave my life to Christ and I'm already saved. And once I get saved, I don't have to do nothing else. That is the demonic spirit that is attacking the church right now.
Yeah.
That is the demonic spirit that's attacking the church right now. Okay? Understand this. Submitting to your spouse is mandatory.
Yes.
You understand?
Yes.
Becoming a servant to your spouse is mandatory.
Yes.
Okay? This is how we're supposed to live. If you live like that, you'll have a pretty good marriage.
Right.
You understand? You will have a pretty good marriage. If you're serving her and she's submitting to you, you ain't gonna have no problem. And you're yielding one to another,
yes,
you ain't gonna have no problem.
That's right.
Okay? But once you get to the part where you want to be ugly and you like, I do what I want when I want. You trying to treat me like you my daddy. You ain't my mama, don't tell me to do that. I ain't got to come in when I don't feel like it. You're going to have a bad marriage, right?
Right.
I'm switching this because I'm letting you know you're in a marriage relationship with God.
Yes.
You can't tell God where you going, what you doing, and what time you'll be back. And he said, no, don't go. You understand?
Amen.
But if you submit, there's a beauty in it. You understand?
Amen.
Okay. I'm in John. Let's go to John chapter 15. Let's go to John chapter 15.
Amen.
When we first started off this message, what did we? We were reading about the rapture, and it says some people got taken and some got left, right?
Right.
And the people that got left, used the Greek word, said they've been divorced.
Mm-hmm.
So that means they were in a relationship.
Right.
I want you to understand the warnings that God give us are always to Christians.
Yeah.
He's telling Christians, fight for what you've got. You've got eternal life living in you. Fight for it, okay? Get into your word. Pray. Study. Don't go there. Don't go there. Those people aren't good for you. Protect this valuable gift that I've given you. You understand? That's what God is doing. He's trying to get you to realize that you are fighting for your life. Everybody will not make it.
Amen.
Come on.
Amen.
There's some people who have done praise dance, preached, discipled, all kinds of things that the cares of this world crept up, choked out Christ, and they back in the world.
Yep.
And the scripture says it'd be better if they had not known God
come on.
Than to know him and then do what they're doing.
Yep.
You understand? So let's read John. Okay, you're in John chapter 5, and I'm going to go to verse 5. Yes. It says, I am the vine. You there? 15:5. John 15:5. I am the vine. You are the branch. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up and thrown into the fire to be burned. What?
That kills that once saved always.
Did you? Oh.
Yeah, that goes.
So if I'm connected to Christ and I'm producing fruit and I'm doing wonderful things for the kingdom, then I meet, I don't want to say no name because it'd be like, why you have to use my name?
Shaquita.
Shaquita. And you meet somebody and they say, well, you know, I don't really do church, but you go ahead, baby. Right? And then next week, they say, you coming to church? He go, baby, I don't do church, but you go ahead. And then next week, he said, I want to go for a walk on the beach. I got to go to church. Oh, you can take this walk. Okay, I'm going to do it this time. So now you walking on the beach. While everybody praising God, you walking on the beach. I know you don't smoke weed, but just taste this one. Okay, I'll do it this once, but now you like, why I got to keep repenting for everything? I'm tired of repenting. I just want to live my life. Because that's what Satan tells them. Yeah. I've been there. I'm not telling you a story. I've been on the other side, right? So now you're like, so tired of repenting. This Christian life is just too hard. I can't be no Christian. So you go back in the world. You detached yourself from Christ. And Christ says, those branches are detached and they lay and they wither.
Yeah.
And he says, later he sends workers to come and collect those and throw them in the fire. You understand?
Amen.
This is not a popular message, because if you tell people that hell is real and that they need to fight for their salvation and really stay in Christ, let me tell you something. What is the end of this? Watch this. Yeah, I didn't even read the end, because the end is the best part. It says, verse 7, if you remain in me and my word remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given you.
Yes.
Wow. So if I remain in him and stay connected to him, I can ask him for what I want and he says he'll give it to me? Yes.
Yes.
Well, I need to do some asking.
Yes.
That's what I did. I started asking because I said, I'm going to remain in Christ and I'm going to ask for everything that I want. If he don't want me to have it, good. But I'm playing percentages, right? But God would start blessing because of what? Because I was remaining in him.
Yeah.
You understand? My conscience and my focus was always on Christ, studying my word. I have my phone right now. I have this bell on it to remind me to read a scripture every like 2 or 3 hours, right? Do I need that? Some of you guys go, no, you don't need that. You're a pastor. You study all the time. No, I'm not with you on that.
Amen. Amen.
Last week's pizza don't do nothing for me this week. You understand? Talking about you ate. No, I ain't ate today.
Amen.
You understand?
Amen.
So I'm always focusing on my spiritual growth,
Amen.
My spiritual connection.
Yeah.
Am I praying enough? Am I on my knees enough? I'm always doing that. Why? Because I never get to the point where I feel like I'm so strong that I can't fall.
Amen.
You understand? I've seen enough pastors, deacons, praise and worship leaders. I've seen a lot of people that used to love Jesus and could talk Jesus all day with you. And you look at them now, they smoking weed and they getting drunk and they going to, what concert I saw them at? I saw them at some concert. It was crazy. One of them, Silk, what's the 1980 groups?
Ooh.
Where they jiving, they gyrating. And I was like, what are you? And they sent me the video, like, we're at the mint condition.
Oh,
they had the mint condition concert. They like, we had mint condition concert.
They don't know nothing about it.
Anyway, y'all look, don't look back. I almost said y'all look at, don't look at none of it, all right? You don't need to know none, all right? But they're sending me pictures as if this is okay. And I'm like, what are you guys doing there? But I understand that spirit, okay? Relax a little, relax a little. You don't need God, okay?
Yep.
Everybody's getting raptured. God knows your heart. God knows you ain't been trying lately, right? God knows, you understand? God knows. So, and you can't fake, God says, I am not mocked. Once, understand this, God says, God is not mocked. You will reap what you sow.
Yes.
God is not mocked. You can't, meaning you can't make a fool of God. Mm-hmm. You will reap what you sow.
Yes.
Okay. God knows what you planted, and what's coming up is going to be exactly what you planted.
Yep.
Rather righteousness, which leads to life, or disobedience, which leads to thanatos,
yes,
which is hellfire. It's amazing that in the Greek, they like, when we say death here, it's not just regular death. Let's use this other word because it actually means hell.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
It's amazing how God used the language that is so precise so you don't misunderstand what he says. You understand? I think I got one more scripture. Romans chapter 11. And we're gonna finish here. Let's go Romans chapter 11. And we're going to finish here.
Good message, Pastor. Good message.
So I want you guys to know, I just really want you to imagine, you know, somebody that you're really in love with. And I've used this illustration before. Somebody you're really in love with, and you're in love with him, and he's in love with you, and you're just, everything's going great. And then now you see him on camera, but you're not there. And you see all these girls coming on to him, okay? And you're like, oh my God, what's he gonna do? And you're like, oh my God, I gotta watch. And he goes, girl, you better step off. I got a beautiful woman at home. You go, ah! Right? You like, yes, you the bomb. Can't wait till you get home, right? Now imagine if it happens the opposite way.
Right.
He's like, yeah, baby, give me the key. I'll meet you up there. You see him creeping out of his room, creeping up there. You're like, oh my God, it just breaks. I'm trying to put you in the place of God.
Yeah.
You understand? I'm trying to put you in the place of God. Because wherever you are, God is watching you, and he wants to see that beautiful moment. No thanks, I don't drink. What? You don't drink? Little guy out here, back homeless guy, start cursing me out. Pastor Benny called me when the other lady came, Mary Rose, Rosemary. Homeless guy back there start cursing me out. He said, get mad. I see you get mad. I said, I don't get mad, man. I'm like my father. And let him keep cursing. Because my father said he's slow to anger. You know how I learned how to be slow to anger? Reading the word. I said, now before, I'll be in jail and you be in the hospital. But I didn't tell him that, but in my mind, I knew that, right? But God told me that I have to be more like him. You understand? And the only way for me to conform to what he is, I have to stay in my word and see, what is God like? What does he like? What doesn't he like? And I said, my father is slow to anger. And I said, dude, I said, I don't get mad. You can keep talking if you want. I let the people get in the car, walk back in here. Didn't say nothing to them. I said, hey, learning how to do this is important.
Amen.
And you have to be in your word to know what God wants.
Amen.
All right?
Amen.
Here we go. This is the last of the verses that we need to go. You're in Romans chapter 11. You're in verse 17.
Yeah.
It says, if some of the branches have been broken off, and you through a wild olive shoot have been grafted in among the others, and now share in the nourishing sap from the olive root, do not boast over the branches. If you do, consider this. You do not support the root, but the root supports you.
Yes.
You will say then, branches were broken off, meaning the Jews, so that I could be grafted in, a Gentile.
Mm-hmm.
He says, granted, but they were broken off because of unbelief. And you stand by faith, right, in Christ.
Right.
Do not be arrogant, but be afraid. You hear that?
Mm-hmm.
Don't be arrogant about your salvation. Remember, God had some kids before who were disobedient.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, for if God did not spare the natural branches, he will not spare you either.
Amen.
You hear that?
Yep.
So God is letting you know, I don't deal with disobedience. Ain't nothing changed. I had some kids. I kicked them out because they were disobedient. Now I'm adopting you and loving you, and you want to come into my house acting crazy? And you think like I'm just going to tolerate because you say I'm once saved and I'm always saved, so I can curse out people when I feel like it. I can go out and have drinks with the boys when I feel like it. I can do what I want when I feel like it. I can treat my wife how I want when I feel like it. And then now you got some crazy lady on YouTube telling people, and if you sin, you don't even have to repent because the Holy Spirit is locked up inside of you.
Locked
and I'm
up.
Like,
wow, prisoner. Wow.
No, he's not.
Come on, Pastor, teach. Come on.
You received that seal for your day. It ain't you, not until the day.
Right.
You might not keep it until the day if you decide you don't want to live for God.
Right.
You understand?
Right.
So the Bible continues to tell us the same things. Look, I'm warning you, you're fighting for your life. You're fighting for your life. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, right? Have you ever taken a trip to Saturn just for the weekend?
Mm.
And stayed at one of the hotels the angels built? You know, have you ever just spent 5 years without even coughing? Have you ever had a divine body? Do you know what that feels like? Satan does. And he hates you because you got it living in you. And he's every day. He's not going to stop till you leave. He thinks maybe they'll fall for this one.
Right.
Didn't fall for that one, but they might fall for this one. So then scripture does this for us in Ephesians. It says, every morning you wake up, put on the full armor of God.
Yes.
Okay. Every time you wake up, put on the full armor of God. And do what? Prepare for your day.
Yes.
Stay in prayer. Stay in word. Helmet of salvation. Breastplate of righteousness. Sword of the word. Do the. He don't say, okay, some days you don't have to put it on. Just wear your shorts and go outside and play.
Mm-hmm.
No, every day. There ain't no war over. Did you hear a trumpet blow? Ain't no war over. When the war's over, I'll blow the trumpet, okay? Right. Until then, wake up in the morning, put your armor on, get ready, because you don't know what battles are coming. I'm going to say this, and I told Drea before, and I'm going to tell you guys this. Look, there's this guy, he died, and this is it, Pastor Ben, I promise, I think. This guy, he died, but he said, when he was in death, he said Jesus came to him because it wasn't time for him to die, and he says, I want to show you something about prayer. He said, watch this. And he went, this is a prayer. Boom, the prayer landed, and a big cloud of smoke came up. Wow. It's like, wow. And he says, don't worry about the cloud. That's just the effects. Look at the ground. Look at the vibration of the ground and everything that bomb moved. He said, that's your prayer. Don't look at the cloud. Look at the vibrations of the ground. If you pray and you continue and pray, rather you're praying in the spirit or in the natural. But he told him, pray in the spirit because it's more powerful because the Lord knows what's going on and you don't, right?
Right.
So he said, continue praying. He said, because every time you pray, don't worry about the boom, worry about the vibrations that are destroying your enemies on the ground. You understand? We are coming into the 120th year, and this may be the year that the Lord comes and takes us all out.
Yes.
But let me tell you something. The war is not over until the trumpet blows. You understand? So God wants you to know you do have an enemy, and you do have precious cargo, and that's your eternal life. Take care of it. Praise God.
Amen.
Pastor Sammy. Yes. Hallelujah. Okay, we're going to pray for our beautiful people all around the world who is watching this message. Hallelujah. Father God, in the name of your son, Jesus Christ, I just want to pray for our beautiful YouTube audience, Father God. We call them S4C members, Father, worldwide. And we just thank you, Father God, for each and every one of them. We thank you for the way they support the church, Father God, and thank you. We don't even know how to say thank you for that, Father God. We just thank you in Jesus' name that they've been such a great help to us, not only encouraging me and Pastor Ben to finish this mission that you gave me back in 2004 and Pastor Ben back in 2004, but to finish it strong. And we thank you, Father God, for all of them. We pray, Father God, that you continue to watch over them. We pray over the person that had the knife, Father God. We thank you for sending your angels, Father God, and calming that situation in Jesus' name, Father God. We have to continue to pray so that we can affect the world. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. All right. You'll be speaking next on the 5th Sunday.
Yes.
Amen.
Thanks for telling them that, Pastor Ben. They heard you, huh?
Amen.
Is that it?
Well, okay.
You want me to tell them?
Yes,
they just heard you say it.
Yeah, but they'd like to see it come out of your lips.
No service on Wednesday night or Thursday.
Oh, no service this Wednesday and no Hebrew class on Thursday.
Mm-hmm. And you are speaking.
And I'm speaking on the 5th Sunday. And that's it.
Amen.
All right.
Amen.
All right. Praise God.